Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Join us for a journey as we go back to the great civilizations of the past. Who were the people? What were they like? How did they begin? And how did they end? Let's find out on episode 31, The Black Obelisk of Assyria. Previously on The Fan of History, we received no news from the Assyrian Empire for 7 years. Well, Dan, that seems like a bizarre occurrence, but I guess some things are truly lost to history.
We'll go deep into what happened these 7 years, trying to reconstruct it. But first, I have to tell you a story.
I like stories, Dan.
Okay, we are back in 1846 AD, very recent in our measurements.
Right.
There were archaeological digs going on at Nimrud. That is the same place as the ancient city of Kala, then the capital of Shalmaneser III. And this was the time when the Assyrian Empire was emerging from the mists of history, because people knew about the Assyrian Empire mainly from the Old Testament, as the Romans and Greek stories about the Assyrian Empire are just fairy tales, as we will note in an upcoming episode. And one of the first things they found that was really sensational in Nimrud was a 3-meter black pillar of stone, that's 10 feet, that immediately became known as the Black Obelisk of Assyria.
Is this the same kind of obelisk like in 2001, A Space Odyssey?
It's a bit similar, actually. And the leading archaeologist was a guy called Layard. Mm-hmm. He was digging in the ruins of the great palace of Ashurnasirpal II, the place that he built during the greatest party of all time, our episode 16. And Layard decides to randomly dig a trench outside the palace at the middle of the Tell, the ruin hill of Kala, just to see if there was another building like the palace.
Right.
So they dug this random trench, and they dug 70 feet down, and they found this obelisk laying on its side. And it was probably toppled by the ravaging Medes in 612 BC. And boy, do I want to talk about that. And then it was covered by rubble during the destruction of the city. And they found other interesting things nearby, and it seems that this place where the obelisk was found was a central plaza, the very main city square of Kala. Maybe you could call it the Forum of Kala. And at this time, they couldn't read cuneiform. The riddle of cuneiform was not solved yet.
Oh, okay.
And they saw this obelisk, and the obelisk has 4 sides with 5 squares a side. So there are 20 squares of images. It's a bit like a cartoon. There are five on each side then, and they seem to depict important political events.
That's crazy.
And it was fairly... Sorry?
I was going to say that's crazy. It's essentially exactly what it was. Like one of those things in the middle of the town square where you post bills.
Yeah. Pretty much. Not unlike the great monuments of Trajan in Rome. So, and it was obvious that these were the triumphs of a powerful Assyrian king, because you see foreign kings on their knees in front of this powerful monarch, but they didn't know who he was. But we know today that it was Shalmaneser III, and we know that each of the vertical levels of the obelisk tells a story in four pictures. So there are five stories with four pictures of in each. And in this episode, we'll try to reconstruct what happened in Assyria in 827 to 820 BC after the sources went silent. And we'll show that this obelisk was a monument to the supreme power of Shalmaneser III, king of the universe. And it was also a big propaganda piece.
Oh, I'm sure.
To try to rescue Assyria.
So what's... So I guess when we recreate... From this one, basically, news piece, if you want to call it that.
It's not even that, really, but it's more of a propaganda thing.
Okay, so this is what they're using as their rallying cry.
Yeah.
Oh, I gotcha.
So remember how great our king is, even if he's old and senile now.
Right.
This is the things he had done. So... In 827, then, we have our last records before this time. And we know that in 827, Shalmaneser III is the king. The Assyrian Empire is the strongest state in the Near East, by far. Shalmaneser III has been the king since 859 BC, so he's 32 years into his reign when this happens. He had fought alliances of kingdoms, but he had defeated them all. And we know that there is a field marshal, Dayan Asher. He controlled the army in the name of Shalmaneser III because Shalmaneser had grown old. There were also two princes, Assurdaninpal and Shamshiraman, who wanted power and their father's approval.
How many things have been done like this, just seeking father's approval?
A lot of things. It gets worse than when you have like 200 sons.
Oh, God.
We don't know how many sons Shalmaneser III has, but it was more than 10 at least.
Wow. Okay.
Because they had harems and many wives. Also remember that there has been... The original goal of the Neo-Assyrian Empire was to recreate the Middle Assyrian Empire that had been lost. But that is long past. The Neo-Assyrian Empire is now bigger than the Middle Assyrian Empire. And we have had super powerful kings on the throne for 50 years, since 883 BC. Before Shalmaneser III, there was Ashurnasirpal II. And there are powerful noble families. They have been around for more than 1,000 years. But they have influence in the provinces and the Kala. They constantly fight the power of the king. So it's the classical question. If the king is powerful, the nobles are not powerful.
Right.
And of course, these two kings have suppressed the power of the nobles. So let's talk about Dayan Asher then. We did that earlier, but I want to recap this.
Sure.
Dayan Asher, Assurdaninpal, and Shamshiraman. Those are the three power players in Assyria. Dayan Asher is the field marshal. He has been field marshal for some time then, so Shalmaneser III felt comfortable giving him command of the army. There are some theories that he actually dominated Shalmaneser III for a long time, but I think he was a friend and a trusted underling of the great king.
Because that's what I was about to ask you. Would you say he's more like that Jafar in Aladdin, or more like a co-pilot kind of thing?
He is a field marshal, so he's out fighting. I don't see Jafar
okay.
on the battlefield. And they are all Assyrians, these three people. They are all warriors. The elder son of Shalmaneser III, possibly the eldest son, is then Assurdaninpal. And he reminds me of Ashurnasirpal II. He seems to be just a violent warrior general. He's not the designated heir. And he hates that Diane Usher has this influence over his father. So he's the violent guy that thinks he should be the crown prince.
Right.
And then we have the actual crown prince, Shamshi Rahman. He is a younger son, and he's probably chosen because his elder brother is violent and a bit crazy, while Shamshi Rahman is wiser and thinks things through. But the Assyrian people and the nobles, they want this violent, aggressive general king. So they really do not approve of Shalmaneser's choice of heir.
I guess all they really see are the spoils of the war. Because if you live in the city, that's all you probably see is people going out and then coming back with monkeys and gold ingots. But they never see, you know, the other side of it, where you actually have to be nice sometimes.
Exactly. I think that's it. I think there are tax privileges in the great cities of Assyria as well.
Uh-huh.
So you just see the benefits of empire and not the problems.
Right.
So this is the age-old problem, right? How do you transfer power in a monarchy, especially when you have a very successful and great king? And now somebody has to take over. We talked about that when Shalmaneser III became king. How do you continue after someone as Ashurnasirpal II? But he did a pretty good job.
Right.
So now, I'm going to try to recreate what happened during these 7 years. And I may be taking some liberties here, but no one really knows, because the records of these years have been eradicated. They don't want us to know what happened during these years.
That's pretty funny. That long ago. And if they truly did not want people to know, like, you know, if there was just some big shame or whatnot, that it actually worked.
Yes, it definitely worked. Though the Egyptians spectacularly failed to conceal their history a few times when they tried to delete certain pharaohs from history, and we found them anyway.
Right.
I read more very recently about the relationship between the king and the nobles in Assyria. And I think the kings are giving us a picture of their supreme might that might not be correct. I think the nobles are more influential than the sources give them credit for. We'll talk more about that when we get to the interval, which will happen pretty soon in Assyria. But what happens here is that Assurdaninpal, the violent prince who is not the crown prince, he rebels. He's tired of Diane Usher's power as field marshal. He's tired that he's not the crown prince. And he probably thinks, what would my grandfather Ashurnasirpal have done? Well, he would have massacred someone.
Yeah. Pillar of Heads. That was popular.
And this line of kings is so ancient. But this has definitely happened before. Because Assurdaninpal is still in the line of kings. So if he becomes the king, the line is unbroken. And the Assyrian people, they just love this guy because he takes what he wants. And 27 cities of Assyria join him in this rebellion. And the great cities of Ashur and Nineveh, they sign up for Assurdaninpal. Hey, you are cool. Let's make you the king. But Kala remains loyal to Shalmaneser III, the capital itself. So Assurdaninpal has to make his father change his mind about the succession. But I don't think Shalmaneser is in a state where he can actually change his mind, because he is in the capital.
Right.
He is among Assurdaninpal's enemies. And he might be totally senile at this point. But given the success of Assurdaninpal, then Shamshi Rahman and Diane Usher has to join up with each other and defend the capital. So they dig into Kala together with the old king.
Right.
And try to defend the capital. And the capital has never been under attack since it was built. But I think it had pretty impressive walls. And maybe it wouldn't look very good to actually massacre the inhabitants of the Assyrian capital.
Not if you want to rule them, maybe?
No. So there might have been religious taboos against this. And of course, in a civil war in an empire, there is no real victory. Because you can't really loot your own people.
Right.
And you go against the rightful king, and to murder his father would probably look horrible. So there is a respite. There is a time when they are holed up in Kala, Assurdan Impala is running around Assyria, and everybody loves him. But Dayan Asher and Shamshin Rahman has to do something in Kala. And what they need is a good propaganda piece.
Here we go.
Yes. So they create the Black Obelisk of Assyria. And the obelisk, I have received different measures on the obelisk, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yes, I said 3 meters at the start because that was a run source. But here I have 197.85 centimeters, so 2 meters. And as I said, there are 5 different stories, and the story seems to be that the king is subdued. So there are 5 kings that are subdued by Shalmaneser III.
Who are they? Do we know?
Well, the big one is Jehu of Israel. King of Israel did pay tribute to Shalmaneser III in an earlier episode.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to episode 26, The King of the Jews. And this is also the first depiction of a Jewish king of Israel. So it's a very important historical piece and a big confirmation of the stories in the Old Testament. That the Old Testament at this point is not a fable, but contains some real historical facts. The other kings are Sual of Gilsanu. This is in northwestern Iran, and we have mentioned it a few times. There is an unnamed ruler of Musri, and Musri is a riddle, because the Assyrians talk of Musri, and some people want it to be Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think a ruler of Egypt ever bowed to Shalmaneser III. The other alternative is Kew, the little kingdom that stood against Shalmaneser III for so long in Turkey. But if Musri is Kew, the Egyptians were never at the Battle of Karkar, because the Battle of Karkar contains Musri for Egypt. And we talked about that in the Battle of Karkar, but a lot of historians think that the Egyptians were at the Battle of Karkar.
Right.
But this is the piece of proof. So if the obelisk doesn't depict Egyptians, then they were not at the Battle of Karkar. There is also Marduk Apil Usur of Suhi. That's an Aramean tribe, I think. And Kulparunda of Patin. So those were the 5 kings. Of course, Jehu is the most interesting of them. There is a giant cuneiform inscription going around the obelisk. And it is the full annals of Shalmaneser III. There is a record of all his 34 military campaigns.
Wow.
And at his side in these campaigns is mentioned Dayan Asher many a time. So this obelisk gives the impression that Dayan Asher is super important to the success of Shalmaneser III. So thus we can probably think that Dayan Asher is the person who ordered the creation of the stone.
So basically this was a giant campaign poster to get people to say, oh, wait a minute, we were wrong about wanting this dude. We really want this guy over here.
Yeah, and do you want to defy this king that has done this right. much? And he says that Shamshi Rahman should be the king.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right.
But I think the undertone is that maybe Diane Usher should be the king.
Uh-oh. Well, I guess there's a full-on debate?
I doubt there is a debate. But we know that in 823 BC, Shalmaneser III dies. Mm-hmm. He's probably weak and old when he finally dies. And nobody really cares. We don't know how he died. He could very well have been murdered and they put him out of his misery. But he is one of the greatest kings the Assyrian Empire ever had. We did a tribute music video on the YouTube channel for Shalmaneser III. Check that out. Shalmaneser III tribute. Just search YouTube. And it will be a long time now before there is a king in Assyria that is as powerful as Shalmaneser III was. But when that king arrives, he will be the number one king the Assyrians ever had. He will be even greater. His army would laugh at the army of Shalmaneser. And his enemies will go so far as they will simply refer to him as the Assyrian. But that's in 745 BC, and we have a long way to go before we get there.
We got a lot of episodes before we hit that.
But remember Shamshi-Rahman, the actual crown prince then. He's sealed up in Kala, the capital. His father is dead. This field marshal guy runs around and probably controls the capital. So what can the crown prince do? He might even be a prisoner here. Crazy. Is there someone he can turn? What would you have done in this situation?
Yeah, wait a minute. A while back, Shalmaneser III, didn't he make a pact set with the king, with another king, saying, hey, you know, I'll watch out for you. I just need you to watch out for me if I need to come a calling.
Oh, yes, he did. He made an oath to the king of Babylon.
There it is, king of Babylon.
He swore to protect his son if there was ever some problem with the son of the king of Babylon becoming the new king. And he delivered.
He
saved Marduk Sakirshumi and made him the king of Babylon. He invaded Babylonia, put the king on the throne, and then retreated, calling the king his brother. So what I think happens here is that Shamshi-Rahman turns to the king of Babylon, and the Babylonian army invades Assyria.
Okay.
And this is this sounds like a really bad idea, but Assyria is divided. And of course, someone needs to be loyal to the crown prince, to Shamshi-Rahman. And it is very likely that the tribal peoples of Babylonia that caused so much problem, they are probably happy to... to invade Assyria, because they all hate the Assyrians.
Right.
So the Kassites and the Chaldeans are coming along with the Babylonian royal army, and they invade Assyria. They smash the rebellion, and this is probably not very good for Dian Usher then, because the Babylonian king owes loyalty to the family of Shalmaneser III, and not to Dian Usher.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens here is that this succeeds. Dian Usher disappears, weirdly, from the sources. Is never heard of again.
Really?
As is Assurdaninpal. So suddenly, both his rivals are gone, and Shamshi-Rahman is put on the Assyrian throne by the king of Babylon.
Wait a minute.
Yep.
Okay. So, on the outside of the city, you have Assurdaninpal trying to get in. Inside the city, you have Dian Usher with Shamshi-Rahman.
Yes.
But, if you look at the obelisk, you don't see a whole lot of, hey, Shamshi-Rahman, that dude's a good dude. What you do see is a whole lot of, hey, Dian Usher was kind of over here helping out.
Yes, I think the obelisk was done at this point. It was up, it was displayed, and Shamshi-Rahman didn't want to destroy such a beautiful piece of tribute to his father. So right. I think the obelisk survives this.
Okay.
But Assurdaninpal and Dian Usher probably do not survive this.
I was about to say, who are your two rivals at this point? Well, your one major rival is your brother. And then you have somebody else who could be, probably should nip that in the bud while you have a giant army helping you.
Yep. I think they are both murdered.
Wow.
And, of course, this is very controversial to the Assyrian people who love this Assurdaninpal character. So Shamshi-Rahman decides that he has to take one of these ancient king names. And you see that when the kings love to be named after ancient Assyrian kings.
Okay.
And here he takes the name of Shamshi-Adad. So Rahman becomes Shamshi-Adad V. And he's now on the throne, but there is a Babylonian army there. So Shamshi-Adad says, okay, guys, we're done. You can go home. And the Babylonian says, well, not so fast.
Right.
So there are conditions. And Shamshi-Adad V is in no position to refuse these conditions.
Right.
And it is quite weird here, because when Shalmaneser III did exactly this, he put the rightful heir on the throne of Babylon. He just did it. He had a party, went home, and said, you're my brother.
Right, exactly.
Marduk Sakishumi is the only foreign king ever to be called a brother by the Assyrian kings. And still he does this. He forces a treaty on Shamshi-Adad V, which is not equal at all. We have this treaty. And it's very much big brother Babylonia controls little brother Assyria.
Wow.
And it says Babylon is great, Assyria is not as great. And there's also a Babylonian princess that Shamshi-Adad has to marry them. But this was the old way of reinforcing the alliance between Babylon and Assyria.
Right.
This daughter is called Shamuramat, but we will dedicate a whole episode to her.
Really?
Yes, because she becomes known as Semiramis, Queen of the Universe.
Okay.
And the legends about this woman just go nuts. They go crazy. And the Romans and the Greeks play into this because they will attribute everything that they don't understand to Semiramis, to this little Babylonian princess. But enough about that now. We'll talk about that for a whole episode it's so crazy. Also, the treaty only has Babylonian gods witnessing it. And it's forced upon Shamshi-Adad V. But, you know, the Assyrians, right? They will never hold a grudge. They will never feel that they were mistreated and claim the revenge later. They will just accept this, right?
Oh, sure. That sounds exactly like what Assyrians do.
And I'd like to spend a final thought on Assurdaninpal, this warrior general prince that was not the crown prince. And I wonder how history would have turned out different if he had actually won this civil war. Because bad things will happen to Assyria now. and we will enter a long period of decline. They will fight it for a while, but then it will just go downhill really fast. And that's what is called the interval.
Okay.
And maybe this guy could have prevented it. Because Shamshi Adad V surely cannot prevent it. As I said, the Dayan Asher disappeared, but I think he has set a dangerous precedent for the field marshals. Because here was this powerful general who was not the royal person, but he still held all this power. And other powerful generals in Assyria will try to emulate this. And one of them will become even more successful than Dayan Asher.
So what happened to Dayan Asher?
We don't have no idea. He's just gone.
Just gone.
But the general that will come very soon and will be extremely influential will be called Shamshi Ilu. And he is alive at this point, but we have no idea what he's doing now. He will show up with the next king.
Okay. He's going to a general school, learning how to learning how to be a field marshal.
He's maybe a young officer at this time, or maybe he's a child. But we'll talk more about him. And I think Dayan Asher had, he could never have won this civil war. So he should probably have supported the crown prince more and made really sure that the crown prince was on the black obelisk. And I think that would have been his route to success here. Yeah, so we have to check in. Oh, sorry.
Oh, so he seemed to be hedging his bets a lot.
Yeah, and that did not work out for him.
No.
So Shamshi Adad is the winner. He's the king of Assyria. And he will not have a happy time being the king, but that's for future episodes. I have to mention the Manians at this point. The Manians is a people that rule a small kingdom in the Zagros Mountains, that's in Iran, to the east of the Neo-Assyrian Empire. And they are, just to give you an impression why they are important, they have subject peoples, subject tribal peoples. And it is very likely that the Persians and the Medes at this point, that they are tribute, they pay tribute to the Manian kings. So here are the Persians again.
Right.
This is at the place called Lake Urmia. It's a big lake and it forms the border of Urartu, and Assyria wants to be at the lake as well. But I'm not sure they are here. The Manians are definitely by Lake Urmia. So this Lake Urmia will be a site of many battles. The Manian king is not very powerful. The state is dominated by powerful nobles. And it's nowhere close to Assyria in power, but it's still an important neighbor to Assyria and one protected by high mountains. And the Assyrians, they can raid into the Zagros Mountains, but they have a bad record of keeping territory in the Zagros. Because these tribal people are very, very hard to keep in check.
Yeah,
the Manians will take on a role. Kingdom of Urartu, then, to the north of Assyria, they are more powerful. They are the second most powerful state. They will soon be the second most powerful state in the Near East. Now it's probably Babylonia, then.
Yeah. Especially after that treaty.
Sorry?
I say, especially after that treaty.
Yes. Right now, Babylonia is maybe number one, even. But that will not last for long. So Urartu tries to dominate this Manian kingdom, and Assyria also tries. So they take on a role similar to Armenia between the Persians and the Romans 900 years later. So the Manians are squeezed between Urartu and Assyria. And it will matter a lot for the Assyrians how well they can handle this fledgling kingdom on their border. So that's the story of the Black Obelisk of Assyria and the 7 years of the civil war. That the Shamshi Adad is sort of ashamed of, I think. Probably because of this treaty.
Right. Doesn't look good for Shamshi Adad.
Now I'm out on a limb here, but I think the treaty is only preserved by the Babylonians.
Yeah.
So next time, we will have Shamshi Adad being in power. He needs to keep this treaty. And he needs to focus on the borders, because now during these 7 years, the Syrian territories have stopped paying their tribute. Urartu is growing more powerful. Like there are threats in every direction. So a really bad move would be to get pissed at Babylon and try to take revenge.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good for them. You need to concentrate on your borders right now.
So let's hope that Shamshi-Adad goes for the control the borders move and not take revenge on Babylonia move.
Well, I guess we'll find out next time.
Also, we had some refugees that fled Tyre under Dido in episode 29.
Right.
And we will now check in with them. Where did they go? Where do they live now?
Did they start something new, perhaps?
Yep, maybe they will found a tiny little city in Africa that...
Just a little one.
Yeah, a little tiny city that will become very important to the Roman Empire.
All right. That
city will eventually have a guy called Hannibal.
What? Well, it all starts somewhere, folks.
It all starts somewhere.
All right. Well, please go to the YouTube. Subscribe, like, share. We could really use it. Is it / Fan of History for YouTube? Or is that...
Search for Fan of History.
Search
YouTube.
For Fan That's of History, right. Yes.
I can say something else about the YouTube.
Oh, yes. Please.
Right after I record this, I will record the fourth episode of Timeline of World History. It's a series on YouTube that is written by a British guy called Shane Sowersby.
Uh-huh.
He goes through world history from the year 200,000 BC to present day. And the episode I will record today is 9,000 to 8,500 BC. So if you think the Assyrians are too modern, we can go back a long time instead.
Wow.
Also, I'm doing stuff on the Stockholm Massacre or the Bloodbath of Stockholm. This is the event that ends the medieval period in Sweden in 1520 AD. And there will be stuff on YouTube about that as well.
Oh, very cool. All right. Well, also, you can find this on iTunes. We would love to see some reviews.
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah, any kind of review. Good, bad, indifferent. Just give us something. I'd love to read it. Also, facebook.com/fanof. Twitter is @thefanofhistory. Also, you can check out the website, thefanofhistory.wordpress.com. And if you enjoy these episodes, you can really help us out by becoming a patron at patreon.com/fanofhistory.
We're trying to hit $30 on the Patreon. Because if we do, we can continue this narrative past 701 BC. So we want to do the whole 7th century BC, and that's a very exciting century. The major event is the total destruction of the Neo-Assyrian Empire in 612 BC, and I would love to cover that. But we need your help.
Yeah, it really helps us out. It's not like we're, breaking the bank here, but we could really use it, and also it's very encouraging to see that you guys appreciate what we do.
Yeah, you will get to see the Neo-Babylonian Empire as well. And the Medes and stuff.
Cool
and the Scythians. We got to go to the 7th century, people.
You can make it happen. I know you can. I have faith. All right, well, for this week, I am Brennan.
I'm Dan, the crazy Swede.
And this has been The Fan of History.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider supporting us on Patreon, patreon.com/fanofhistory. Just $1 an episode would help us out. Thanks, and see you next time.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.